football on Off the Ball.
If someone has a song that referenced Sheffield or Hillsborough about Liverpool crying, we'd be up in arms.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Welcome back to Friday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast with Shane Hannon and myself. Text us 0879 180 180. What's your favourite goal? Or continue letting us know in the YouTube stream. Daniel McCrossan saying, I love Gazza's versus Scotland in the Euro 96. It's a beautiful aesthetic goal. Speaking of beautiful aesthetics, Daniel Fisichella, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the introduction.
No problem at all. Well warranted. Tell me this. I don't know if you heard our previous segment with Keith Tracy, but we were talking about our favourite goals. And I'm wondering, do you, Daniela, have a favourite goal?
I do have a few favourite goals,
please.
But I must say the penalty. Oh, no, the penalty may not be a favourite one, but Francesco Totti scoring a Panenka against the Netherlands in Euro 2020 in the semi-finals to put Italy through the final that they eventually lost to France against Edwin van der Sar. And it was probably the first modern Panenka that we saw, and in such a, because probably the one historically is from Antonin Panenka back in 1974, yes. But you know, in such a big occasion and so unexpected from Totti, that's probably one of my favorite ones.
That was Euro 2000.
Euro 2000, yes. Exactly. Played in the Netherlands, a game that Italy were under the cosh. Netherlands missed two penalties, and then Italy reduced to 10 men, won on penalties, but they lost the final, yes, eventually to France. So, yeah.
What about Alessandro Del Piero 2006 World Cup semi-final?
That's another one that beautiful. I was going to mention, probably against Germany. Yeah, that beautiful curl into the top corner. Because, you know, beautiful goals are beautiful also because of their significance. And I think Del Piero perhaps might have scored even more beautiful ones in his when he was younger. He became renowned for sort of goal at Del Piero style, that sort of curl into the far post from the edge of the box. Mm-hmm. And the one against Germany resembled that. But of course, to seal the victory in that game, yeah, he has to be up there.
We are on the eve of the new Serie A season starting, Daniela. I'm very excited about this chat with yourself. And I think that it's fair to say that there's above average interest levels coming from Ireland for this season's Serie A start. So tomorrow there are a host of games happening, but at 7:45 p.m. Irish time, Roma play Bologna, and we're all very excited to see if Evan Ferguson plays, and if he does, how he'll get on. But so far, it looks pretty good for Ferguson in pre-season under a new manager and Gasperini at Roma.
Yes, and there are big hopes for Ewan Ferguson at Roma. Roma ask him to score goals, very simple. The goals that perhaps Roma have lacked last season, they know they're taking a little bit of a gamble, of course, because of the physical conditions and the injuries that affected Ferguson previously, but he seems fully fit and enjoying his time, his recent spell in Roma, had a good preseason, featured in pretty much all the games that Roma have been involved. And this is a big season, of course, for Ferguson and for Roma themselves, under a new manager, Giampiero Gasperini, a man that had taken Atalanta to new heights after 8 years in charge of the Bergamo club. And now he's moving again into a big side. He only had one experience with a big side in Italy, Inter, and wasn't successful, Gasperini. So now this is a big test for him. And they done well, Roma, in the transfer market. They have spent, they have invested, not only Ferguson, they are the new right back from Flamengo, Wesley. They unfortunately got Leon Bailey a couple of days ago, but he's already injured. They are still chasing another winger. But he's a talented side that is chasing qualification to the Champions League for the first time in the past 8 years. They were not able to do it under Mourinho, and neither last season, which was very turbulent. So in Ferguson, of course, they have another striker, another option up front. Of course, for Ferguson, it is challenging, not only because he's moving country, but also because he will have some competition at Roma in the form of Artem Dovvik, who 2 seasons ago was the Pichichi in La Liga. Last season scored 17 goals for Roma, so not a bad return overall. But he's a different type of player, Ferguson, from Dobvik. Dobvik likes to occupy the area, receive crosses, and is very much seen as a terminal from the production in offense. Ferguson, we know, likes to come short, to build up the play, to link up, obviously, this physical strength as well. But probably it is a kind of player that might suit more Gasperini's style.
Right.
And if Irish fans can hope, under Gasperini, center forwards out of Atalanta have always done well. Muriel, Zapata, Retegui. So if everything goes to plan and Gasperini loves playing with young players, as he's done with Atalanta, yeah, it could be a very successful season for Ferguson.
Will Gasperini play one or two up front, do you think, with Roma?
I think he will stick with one, yeah, because Roma are blessed with number 10s and wingers, the likes of Dybala, Sule, of course, Leon Bailey when comes back from injury. There is also Stefan Al-Sharawi. The most suited tactical formation for Gasperini is a 3-5-2, 3-4-3, but in the sense of a central striker and two wingers or two number 10s behind him. So a very similar formation to what Ferguson was playing at Brighton in the first season when his breakthrough under the Zerbi. So that should suit him. But of course, it would be a test. It would be a test. I mean, it's never easy to switch country. But if anything goes to show the example of Scott McTominay last season, you know, if you're in the right mindset and if you find a good manager and a good environment, of course, an environment where there will be pressure. Roma is not Brighton. That's no secret. In Roma, there are radio stations who talk 24/7 just about Roma as well as much about Lazio. So there is a pressure to deliver. Of course, the elements, although, are there for him to succeed, we hope.
The fact that Daniele, they got rid of Tammy Abraham as well, I guess that's a vote of confidence, presumably, for Evan Ferguson, because you don't let a striker leave like that unless you have options.
No, of course. Tammy Abraham kind of fell out of grace with Roma last season. He was loaned to Milan in January, and then they didn't want to keep him, so they let him go. And Tammy Abraham has had some physical issues in Roma. The first season was good, then the second was marred by injuries. He was seen as a striker not clinical enough in front of goal to convert chances, something that also Dobdik sometimes is lacking. I think in Ferguson, they see somebody who could really help them build the play and participate more. That's why they brought in someone so different from Dobvik. But of course, somebody with the physical attributes that can help, you know, battle against tough Italian defenses. The thing, the big difference will be this time for Ferguson, whereas at Brighton, he will normally play in a team that, yes, keeps the ball, but is not necessarily deemed to attack every single time. With Roma, he will play in a team that will keep the ball but will face teams in a low block. So of course, especially when they play at home, starting tomorrow with Bologna, which by the way is a very intriguing battle. Also, Bologna is one of the surprises in Serie A. I think that's where the attributes of Ferguson will have to shine: his ball retention, the way he associates with other players and combine. And so that change of style could be a challenge, but also a very interesting prospect for all the Irish supporters watching him, and obviously what he could bring to the national team.
We're very excited about the Evan Ferguson move to Roma. What are Italian fans like, both football fans and specific supporters of Roma? What's their reaction been to the acquisition of Ferguson?
As far as the reception that he got at the airport of Fiumicino when he landed a month ago, the fans, Roma fans, are enthused, because there were a few hundred people welcoming him with scarf, applauding him without him even touching a ball. So obviously there is a big element of enthusiasm. But this is the city of Roma. This is the supporters of Roma. They are extremely enthusiastic, and they can make you yourself an idol in a very short spell of time. So if Ferguson hits the ground running, he will be considered a key player, and he will be revered there. Again, there is the question mark about his physical condition, of course. But I think the Roma fans and also the Italian media, the journalists I spoke with, they see a competition 50-50 between him and Dobvik. So they don't really see one striker ahead of the others. But of course, the entire Roma project reminds a bit of an enigma, especially for the adaptation of the manager Gasperini from a provincial town like Bergamo into a big city like Roma, and how they can handle the pressure. The idea is, if Gasperini settled down well and can also fend away the criticism when they will come, the extra pressure, the extra tension, everything will work on, but it will be a top-down process. So obviously they can't rely on the single players, on the single signing, especially at 20 years old like Ferguson, but if the machine is well-oiled, it will be a very important cog in what could be probably the potential surprise of the season. As I said, I think Roma has underachieved in recent seasons, so they are due to have a strong campaign. There is also the Europa League, when I think, considering the level of oppositions there, they could be considered one of the main favorites to win the trophy. So, you know, there are a lot of competition, a lot of games also for Ferguson to be involved with.
You mentioned the wingers at Roma. They signed Leon Bailey, who's immediately got injured, unfortunately, yes. But you say that they're still looking for another winger. Recently, Jadon Sancho was linked with a £20 million move to Roma. How legitimate are those rumours?
Roma are interested in the Englishman, and I think they will be happy to strike a deal. Of course, the big issue is the wage, but that's the same for every player that moves from the Premier League to the Italian League. Unless they negotiate the wage, unless the player comes down on his request, it becomes almost impossible for an Italian club to sustain it. Sancho wasn't fully convinced to the switch to Roma, and that's why I keep hearing. But the negotiations are ongoing. The feeling is that Roma are going to do some business by the end of the transfer market on the 1st of September. So probably it's one that might get over the line in the next week after match day one. And of course, once perhaps Roma has understood how serious is the injury with Leon Bailey. But they might still trying to get him. Of course, negotiation will not be easy. It all depends on the player, if he's really sold on the idea and if he wants to come down on his economic demands.
So Napoli won the league last season under Antonio Conte. Scott McTominay was one of the stars, and he got MVP. Yes. They had Billy Gilmore as well in the team, of British interest. And they're probably the biggest acquisition of the summer so far has been Kevin De Bruyne. And I wonder, looking into the season ahead, would you have Napoli as favourites to retain Serie A, or do you think Inter can regain the league?
This is a very unpredictable league because since 2020, the champion has never retained the title. So after 9 years of Juventus winning consecutively and Italian Serie A being labeled like the new Scottish Premiership, too boring. Well, we got what we wanted. So now it's very, very open and very unpredictable. Napoli are perhaps for the first time since Diego Maradona, the favorite to win the title. Because they haven't been favorite last season and 2 seasons ago against Spalletti. And why is that? Because they have spent, they spend a lot, they've on over 100 millions. De Bruyne was a free transfer, but not only De Bruyne, they bought a new centre-back, Bukema from Bologna, one of the best centre-backs in Italy, a replacement for Lukaku, Lorenzo Lucca from Udinese, Noah Lang from PSV, who's an interesting project, I think, if he can work under Antonio Conte, and they're still looking to buy a little bit more. But because Napoli are financially very viable, because they can sell really well. They cashed in on Osimhen to Galatasaray. They sell Kvaratskhelia last January to PSG. So they got money on the bank. They are favorites because they are the only top sides in Italy who haven't changed the manager. And I think that really helps staying with Antonio Conte. Bearing in mind that Antonio Conte wanted to say goodbye the day after he won the Scudetto. He felt right. He had done his job, and Aurelio De Laurentiis had to convince him that he would have strengthened the team enough for him to give him enough of a platform to compete both in Italy and in Champions League. That is the big question mark. Last season, Napoli didn't play in Europe and got knocked out of Coppa Italia in the first round. In the end, they played 17 games less than Inter and won by just 1 point. They just stumbled over the line. This season, there are 8 Champions League games, which are very demanding. And the likes of Kevin De Bruyne at 34, they will be spared every now and then. I'm not expecting Kevin De Bruyne to play Napoli-Venezia or Lecce-Napoli, but I would expect him to play the big games. And then again, it will be about the replacement and how they can do. So Napoli, yes, a favorite. It is very open as well. And let's see how they cope with the pressure, because last season, nobody really gave them a lot of a chance, maybe for a top four finish at best. But of course, they have excel expectations.
You mentioned, Daniele, Lukaku, and obviously Lukaku has suffered a serious thigh injury, expected to be out for a number of months. We talk about Jadon Sancho at Manchester United. Another Manchester United player who looks on the way out is Rasmus Højlund, who I know has has played in Serie A with Atalanta. AC Milan seem to be a suggested destination. Do Napoli enter that race now because of Lukaku's injury, or does it seem that AC Milan is the likely destination for Højlund?
But the latest are that AC Milan are close to sign Victor Boniface from Bayer Leverkusen for 25 million if he passes the medical fitness, which, by the way, from the Milan supporter, this is seen like a bit like a plan B, so nobody's really enthused about it. But I think Boniface actually is a very good striker and could do well in Italy if he's fit. Therefore, Højlund could be a shoe-in for Napoli, but only on a loan option. Again, the wage, a big issue. His wage has increased since he moved to Atalanta. If Manchester United are open to a loan option, maybe for Napoli paying something up front with a promise to buy at the end of the summer, then he's a very good replacement. He's a player that I think could have done with a one more year in Serie A, and his move to Manchester United was too quick. Antonio Conte likes to manage players who have been in the Premier League because he understands that the physical demands of the Premier League are much different to the physical demands of Serie A, and players who are used to that sort of pace, when they come to Italy, they shine, they get more time on the ball, let's face it, but also an environment where they can flourish. Scott McTominay is the prime example. Nothing to taking away from the Scott, but I think the move has definitely helped him shine some of his characteristics. So potentially, yes, it could be an interesting move.
Can we talk Inter? The morning of the Champions League final, just a few short months ago, Daniela, everything looked rosy in the garden of Inter. And then the final occurred. And then before you know it, Simone Inzaghi, the manager, was gone. And now the summer has occurred, and 24 hours or so out from the start of the season, their business in the transfer window hasn't been overly impressive.
It's a difficult situation for Inter. They were caught cold by Inzaghi's decision to move to Saudi Arabia to start with. Right. They thought it was going to stay. Then they scrambled for a successor. They went to Fabregas, Sir Fabregas, who said, no, I want to stay at Como. And then they turned their attention to Christian Kivu, a former Inter player who won the Champions League with them, but was only managed 13 times in Serie A with Parma. Now, Inter task and Chivu's task is to rejuvenate the squad. Last season, they had the oldest squad in the Champions League, and against PSG, it showed, I must say. And also try to change the way they play and make them more fluid and less rigid on the 3-5-2, which under Inzaghi has worked miracles. I mean, they knocked out Barcelona and Bayern Munich, and Inter were playing by far the best football in Italy. But sometimes it lacked a plan B. It lacked somebody who could unlock defenses who were defending too deep. So Inter are still work in progress. They have bought a few young players under the age of 25. They are still looking to add a couple more, one in defense and perhaps one in attack. They've been involved in the biggest drama of the summer, the signing of Ademola Lookman, who then hasn't materialized, who went away, escaped from Bergamo. It looks like he's going to stay in Bergamo anyway at Atalanta. So Inter are a work in progress. According to the media, and I do agree to a certain degree to that, in terms of a forward line and attack, they got the strongest attack in Serie A, of course. The issue remains with the age of the defense and the ability to change in within games that probably was the Achilles heel last season. But again, a season that concluded with no titles, when in April they could have won three of them, so you have to put them up there. But of course, for Chivu, it will be pressure from day one, from the game against Torino. He needs to deliver, considering the point Inter come from.
How impressive is Cesc Fabregas as a manager?
Very impressive. Very impressive because he transitioned from player to player manager to manager very quickly. And he's got, obviously, his philosophy, his style of play. Is not extremely dogmatic, doesn't come across like somebody who cannot adapt or be flexible. But he has earned the respect of Serie A managers, Serie A colleagues, Serie A players in a very, very short time. And Como are ambitious because this season, this summer, they spend over 100 million already signing attacking flair players that can really produce something up the pitch, which goes with the philosophy of Cesc Fabregas, a team young, press his eye, that is eager. And look, this could be, again, another fascinating story. Como were newly promoted last season. Mm-hmm. They did really well. They held big teams to draws and even beat a couple of them. This season, they might even push for a place in European in Europe, a top seven, top six. With the investments that they've done, the project can only grow, really. And, you know, they are owned by the 60th richest family in the world, the Artono family. Right. So clearly, they see that as a linchpin, as a way in into the world's football, because they say, we have a great location, we are building a great squad, we have to revamp the stadium, but, you know, things will come, and really, it could be... He's an underdog, really, but yeah. How can you call an underdog somebody who spends so much?
What's happening with Dele Alli at Como?
He's been released. He's been released. Right. He didn't cut it through. He only had one game last season in Serie A. Got sent off
against
a few
Milan.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, straight away. Didn't play. And Cesc believed in him. But however, he's been released, but he's not going to be the end of his career. Okay. Potentially, he might move to the MLS, I believe.
Right.
And despite his very short spell, Como fans and Como management were really fond of him. Okay. I remember him being clapped even when he warmed up in a game when he didn't come on. So again, I think he showed right attitude. Obviously, stepping into Serie A maybe was a bridge too far, but I don't think it's going to be the end of his career.
Finally, for me anyway, just a bit of nostalgia. 25 years yes. since another Irish man moved to a high-profile Serie A side when Inter signed Robbie Keane. Remember the excitement around it. And at yes. the time, Daniela, they used to show Italian football on Irish TV as well. And Channel 4 used to show it. So Inter paid pretty big money to Coventry for Robbie Keane. He scores, I think, one goal, like a lob volley into the far corner, but it yes. doesn't really work out for Robbie.
No, nicknamed Baby Irish back then when he came. Yeah, Inter paid the equivalent of 80 million euros to sign Robbie Keane. And why is that? Because back then the president of Inter, Massimo Moratti, was fascinated with Premier League and Premier League players. You right. know, those were the years where Italy was the Premier League and the Premier League was starting to be shown in Italy. So the Inter manager, the Inter president loved English players. He signed Paul Ince a few years before, tried to sign Ryan Giggs. So here comes Robbie Keane in an Inter that had back then Ronaldo, but he was injured with his knee injury, Christian Vieri, Zamorano, Seedorf, Zanetti, Laurent Blanc, but unfortunately a team that had no real identity. So Robbie Keane came in the summer of 2000, scored a goal in the Super Cup against Lazio, celebrated with the famous cartwheel celebration. But I think the moment that epitomizes how unlucky he was on the 23rd of August 2000, so 25 years tomorrow. Inter were playing the second leg of a Champions League playoff at home against Helsingborg after losing the first leg 1-0 in Sweden. And with the scoreline still 0-0 at the San Siro, with 10 minutes to go, a loose ball into the area, Robbie Keane went to it and backheeled it only to hit the post. Could have been a great goal. Inter was still 0-0. In the last minute, Alvaro Recoba missed the penalty. Inter were knocked out of the Champions League. The following week, they lost against newly promoted Regina. Marcello Lippi was sacked. And that was pretty much the end of Robbie Keane's career at Inter, because Marco Tardelli, the new manager, didn't really see him, didn't really knew what to do with him. And in January, unfortunately, he left Italy to join Leeds after 15 games and only three goals, none of them in Serie A. And I think he's a big, big regret for Inter supporters, for aficionados, considering then obviously what he went on to achieve. And I personally, as an Inter fan, so the mask can finally come out, I was really excited when he signed for Coventry from Coventry. I thought he was going to be a great player, but unfortunately he was caught in the chaos of Inter in the early 2000s.
I knew he was unlucky with the managerial changes, but I didn't know about that backheel moment hitting the post, about how close that sliding door moment.
He was a sliding door, yes, because he... And in the first leg, I remember, against Helsingborg, he played well. Gazzetta dello Sport gave him a mark of 6.5 out of 10. So, you know, they appreciate the fact that he was moving, you know, demanding the ball, was very, very eager. But yeah, but that moment, and I remember vividly when I was younger, yes, it was a heartbreak moment for many, and probably what could have changed his career. You know, he could go down on one of the greatest goals never scored at the San Siro.
Daniele Fisichella, Italian football writer and broadcaster, a pleasure. Enjoy the opening weekend in Serie A.
Thank you. Enjoy as well.
Bye-bye. Of course, AC Milan have signed Luka Modric too, and Maximiliano Allegri is their manager. A real throwback.
A lot of names, a lot of recognisable names.
There's a lot of stuff happening, do you know what I mean? There's also, look out for this kid, Lennon Miller, 18 years old, Udinese, signed him from Motherwell for a club record received fee of £4.7 million.
One to watch.
The Scottish future of Italian football. All right.